Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
We go now to a hotel room somewhere in Letterkenny where hopefully the writer and sage Michael Harding is alive and on the phone. Good afternoon, Michael.
Hello, Brendan. Wouldn't it be funny, all right, if there was no answer to the phone?
My heart was in my mouth for a minute.
Thinking he's gone. How are you?
Well, I feel when you do go, you'll probably be in a mid-priced hotel somewhere in the regions, won't you?
Well, all the best writers die in hotels.
Do they? Okay.
No, they do, aye.
Yeah. And listen,
I'll not follow that with details, but go on.
No. We're going to talk about the turn in the year, back into the light and the good half of the year, I think.
Yeah.
Before we go there, were you wintering in Poland? Most people would try and go like to somewhere brighter, like Portugal or Marbella, but the writer heads to somewhere that's even darker.
I do, yeah. No, I wasn't able to go for a long time this year. I used to go for about 2 months every winter and to Warsaw. And I did go for about, we went for about a week or 2 weeks just to keep up the habit. And I just love to experience the snow, because when you go to somewhere like Poland, you get blue skies, you get sun and you get snow. And that's just a gorgeous experience.
Yeah.
It really is. And I don't know what the snow does to you. I mean, it kind of stops the whole world. It puts this blanket of silence on everything. And it's just magical, yeah. And there you go, snow.
Yeah. But I know what you mean about a bright, crisp day with it, yeah. Listen, it'll be nice to get
for the soul.
Yeah, it'll be nice to get the stretch in the evening here now, won't it? I know this sounds very mundane, but like as you get older, these are the things you look forward to. But I like it. Do you like it?
I love it, and I mean it's not mundane. You could make a career now as a wellness professional, telling people about the stretch in the evening and how to, you know, that you should go out this evening onto the patio, right, at 6 o'clock with a glass of wine or juice if you're not an alcoholic drinker, and you should just pay attention to the way that the light declines between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock. And you could tell people that that will do your soul so much good that you'll wake up tomorrow morning refreshed. And it's true. It really is. If you pay attention to the stretch in the evening, the clock is the only thing that has changed. I mean, nobody put back the sun or twisted back the earth. But what they did was they changed the clock so that we pay more attention to it. Yeah, it's lovely to watch the long evenings.
The blue light, they call it, isn't it? The blue hour.
Do they?
Yeah. I think there's something special about the light at that time of the evening. That dusk light. It's very sharp. Yeah. Go on anyway, people your age.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, winter can be tough. If you have any sort of issues of health, whether they're, you know, physical or emotional, the winter is the hard time. And there's just a lift in everybody when you come to the springtime. I mean, I always remember even my mother and people of her generation, you know, in the autumn, they'd be saying, oh, I dread the winter.
Mm.
And I used to be young and callous. And I couldn't understand, what are they giving off about? Sure, isn't November lovely? But the older you get, the more you're kind of, your struggles with your rheumatism or your arthritis or whatever it is, they're bigger in winter and you feel more helpless. And sometimes darkness can frighten people. Sometimes you feel lonely in the dark. I'd say that personally myself sometimes. There's an awful loneliness can be on you on evenings, particularly the twilight of about, you know, 4 and 5 o'clock in the evening. And so when you come to this part of the year, you've got 6 months where every evening is going to be longer. Every evening is going to give you more time to go out onto the patio or into the garden and just look at the little buds. I will spend probably the next 2 or 3 days watching buds growing on trees. I have an apple tree, for example, that I got for Christmas and it was stuck in a pot most of the winter, and then I put it out maybe, I think, in the beginning of March. But now I'll be able to look and see the new little leaves coming on it, little buds. And small things like that can be like powerful moments of meditation.
Yeah, and the wonderful thing about it too, I think I'm getting to that age where I do half dread the winters now, and they find them a bit harder every year.
Yeah.
As much as we know that the spring is always coming, somewhere rationally, it's kind of like a beautiful new surprise every year when it does happen, isn't it? It's magic, like.
It is new. I mean, again, we think in linear time. We're too rooted in this idea of time and life being one line instead of being a kind of a recurring eternity. And so when you come to spring, it is the recurring eternity. This is the imaginal moment that's within your psyche that is the real you. This is the moment when you have, as Rumi used to say, when you have the face you had before you were born. Right, before you were born, there is the imaginal you, the real deep you, and it arises to greet the spring, and you can feel it inside you, that there's something deep inside you wants to respond to the springtime, because the springtime feels like the earth is saying hello to you. And what happens then is that you want to have, do you know the way if you know there's somebody special in the room, and you say to yourself, I need to meet that person. And what happens in the springtime is you get this emotional feeling that you need to meet. You have to have this climax. And in the old days, it used to be midsummer or it used to be May Day. And people still go on holidays. They want this special moment, a day in Bundoran maybe. Yeah. Whatever it is, you have to have your holiday. And now is a really good time to promise yourself that. Even if it's only a couple of days off work and a little bit of walking in the park. But that you pull out for yourself 3 or 4 days or, you know, in the summer, whether it's June or August, and you say, those 3 or 4 days for me are going to be special. They're going to be the moments that I meet the stranger, if you like, the nature in the earth that is saying hello to me now. There's something new happening. And it's not like that it's a repeat of last year. It's actually the same as last year, because time in eternity is just a cycle. So okay. We're back to the beginning and we're back to the future. We're in the eternal moment of spring.
So if we're in now, is that the closest we can get to in eternity? Now is always eternity, is it?
I think so. I mean, I've never got to being here now, but I always preach being here now because I think that is the threshold of eternity. I think that's the threshold of utter, pure enlightenment, if you want to talk about it in Buddhist terms, of joy, of love. It's just, if we could just cope with the utter magnificence of the present moment, then we would be in bliss.
And you haven't got there?
Not at all.
Jesus, no hope for the rest of us.
Sure, I'm a complicated neurotic.
Yeah. Listen, you like to see the communions and the weddings come back as well, do you?
I do. I think they're rituals, you know. It's like if there was no religious faith behind those rituals, we'd still be doing the rituals. You know, because it's just, you know, somebody was saying to me, actually, I'm not joking, last night we were talking about outside the hotel, you know, the way people congregate to have a cigarette. And they'd be congregating the same this morning after breakfast to have a cigarette. Now, cigarettes is a bad thing.
Mm.
But the idea of that congress is nearly, somebody said to me, they're like crows. Do you know the way mm-hmm. crows gather? Mm-hmm. That humans are very much like animals because we are animals. And there are things we do in springtime, like we put on colourful clothes and we put on ritual clothes and we just love it. And in the country areas, certainly, whether it's Leitrim or Cavan or Donegal, you'd find going through the next 2 or 3 months, there's Sunday lunches which are absolutely chock-a-block and the families are at the tables and there's little ones, boys and girls, running around with their communion money and their fancy costumes. The communion clothes, you know. It's just a lovely kind of, again, it's a way of welcoming the spring. I even know, as I speak, there's a beautiful Irish song. I can't put the name on it, but you know there's a song, Welcome to the Spring?
I don't know it.
So all those rituals are like just welcoming the spring. They're more than just the Holy Communion, like as some, you know, religious thing. They have a deep spiritual root to them. In our humanity, being human is being spiritual. We are spiritual beings embodied. We are not humans with a spiritual addition.
And I suppose it's a, is the spring a bit of a coming together as well again after that kind of isolation and bleakness of the winter that you talk about?
Oh, listen, I felt that last night, I'll tell you. I was in on Greenon, the theatre here, and it was a full house and everybody had this sense of saying, it's so great to be out again. And they were referring, I suppose, to COVID, because COVID is now just 3 years since it began. And I think it's 3 years since it began, yeah.
Mm.
And it's like, this is the first summer where I think people will really move out and enjoy being with other people and enjoy the normal things that we all used to enjoy and will begin to enjoy again. Little festivals, you know, like folk festivals, the Boyle Arts Festival, the on Toast or whatever, in small towns right across the country from now until the end of August. There's a magnificent amount of little festivals where you can go and have a day out and buy ice cream and talk to your grandchildren and have an argument with your son or daughter or mother or father or whatever. You know, it's just a beautiful thing to be out again, and the loneliness of COVID will gradually, nobody will ever be able to let go of the people they lost, and nobody will let go of the bereavement that they suffered, because that's something inside you'll carry forever. But you learn to deal with it better, and you move on, and you make new stories with new people, and that's life. It's very sad, and it's also very beautiful.
Are we changed a bit by it? Like, we've kind of moved on.
I think we're hugely changed, yeah.
Are we?
And I think, like, I mean, you couldn't, I don't know how we're changed, but I sense that we're hugely changed, and some of it is anger. You know, there's a kind of an unconscious and collective anger that can come out of people after a trauma, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know how that'll work itself out in life. It'll take 5 or 10 more years, you know, and then people will start talking about the meaning of COVID and what way it affected us. But it affected individuals because they lost people. And for those, they will never forget. And this spring will be the first time that they make the effort to just reach out again to the community that's around them and find joy. Find joy just in the ordinary things of life, the ordinary human things that you do. And spring is just the time that you start doing those things again.
So the first normal spring, summer. And listen, is this your first time back on the road since COVID?
Yeah, first time back on the road since 2018.
Wow.
So it's amazing how 5 years slips by.
Yeah. And you're kind of like Bob Dylan in the Never Ending Tour, or Willie Nelson or something. Like, you're kind of a bit of a man of the road, aren't you? You like to be out and about.
I love being on the road, yeah. I love being on the road. I love being in different towns and meeting different people. I think it's just, I don't know what's it. My grandfather was a pig dealer. He used to travel all Ulster to fairs from Belfast as far as Cavan, and he'd put the dust of one town behind him and go to the next one. Yeah.
I was reading in your column there that you like to scrub up well when you're out on tour.
I do,
Why is that?
It's terrible, because you get old and you have to make more effort at it, you know? Like, I got into a fad of trying to find suits, and I won't be giving anybody advertisements, but there's a great suit maker company in Donegal, and they make magnificent suits, and they're a different experience. I wouldn't have been caught dead in one, right, when I was younger. I wouldn't be caught dead in a suit. Which is a funny thing to say, because what you get buried in is a suit.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
I remember when I was very ill, here's a story. I bought this suit. It's a lovely suit. It's a blue suit. And I bought it just before I personally got very ill. And when I was so ill that I was in Bowman and I was having operations on the spine, I used to lie in the bed and I'd be going to the wardrobe for my dressing gown and I'd see the suit that had never been worn. And I used to say to myself, well, I'll have it for the coffin. I was that miserable.
Yeah.
And now that I'm kind of healed and I'm better and I'm going around the country and I'm having a great time and I'm wearing the suit, I'm delighted with myself. So I think that clothes like that can kind of enliven you the older you get. When you're in your 60s, you get more buzz out of a nice bit of a jacket or a bit of pair of trousers or a, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It holds you together a bit as well as you get older. Yeah, it holds the men together well, doesn't it?
Yeah, and like young fellas when they're in their 30s and 40s, they can go around in pure rags now. Yeah. Pure rags. And they look beautiful. They look wonderful. And the foolish thing is then when you go into your 50s, you still think that wearing our rags is acceptable. And you don't realise that people are looking at you saying, God, look at him. He looks terrible. Wouldn't he not put on a bit of a shirt? So I find that. That's only a personal experience now. I enjoy
no,
putting
I know,
on a good
I don't,
suit.
No, I see where you're coming from. And how is the health? Are you back from the brink again, you are?
I am. And by the way, you were always a very dapper clothes man. I used to really admire you. And of course, you had the physique for it because you were in the gym or somewhere. Or you must have been eating peas, just an odd bean. But
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I'm back from the brink of usual physical troubles. I feel very, very grateful, endlessly, for the doctors, nurses and everybody in Beaumont and in the Mater. I was in Beaumont for two operations. I was in the Mater with the heart. You know, listen.
I'd say it could grind you down, could it?
Have me health, yeah.
I'd say it could grind you down, though, could it?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that no matter what comes our way as human beings, we have huge resilience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that everybody gets some, there's a knock, there's a blow comes to everybody. You'll not escape life without some ups and downs. I had a great friend one time, she used to say, the young people, she said, Michael, they want to be up on the moon all the time. But Michael, you and me know you can't be up on the moon all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you have to go down for a while.
Yeah,
and be sad,
yeah.
And it's okay to be sad too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you see, that's it. I think Irish people, there's a kind of a manic depression in us, isn't there? That we'd be high on the hog now for the next for the bright part of the year, and then we'd probably go back into ourselves a little bit when the winter comes again. Yeah.
Now, I admit that could be a danger with me. There's no doubt about that. I suffer from that kind of extreme reaction to weather.
Yeah.
You know,
can totally you feel the sap rising in you now? Are you getting giddy with the light, yeah?
I'd be getting giddy now, but I also think that this thing we're talking about is deeper and it's not a bad thing. So the same way, if you think of linear time is an imposition on us and that the real truth of human life is a circular sense of eternity repeating itself every spring, just think about emotions the same way, that your emotions are like a beautiful... Like, you know, like an accordion that stretches out and then goes back in and stretches out. And our emotions are like that. And we think that sometimes we think mental health is about a stability that goes like a single line of equilibrium all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it would seem to me that you need to allow yourself these kind of crevices and troughs as part of the natural flow of being alive as a human being. That there are days that are so beautiful, you can't just get words for them. And there's other days that you won't be able to speak a word because you're so low and you're so lonely.
But,
and
that's
okay. That's life.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look, that's as good as any a message to leave us with. So I suppose acceptance is the key to it all, isn't it?
Acceptance and reach out. Reach out.
Reach
say,
out.
You know,
reach out.
Okay. Talk to somebody.
And listen, texter here saying you were brilliant in Letterkenny last night. Great fun. And you're in the Pavilion in Dunleary on Friday and Saturday. And some tickets still available for that. And of course, people can check out the Michael Harding podcast, which I see is almost a one-to-one phone call. No guests, no sig tune, just Michael talking to you. And in that there alone, Michael, that's... heaven and hell all there together for it's an eternity and now and everything else. Michael Harding, nice to talk to you again.
Great talking to you, Brendan.